welcome to Be Simply. This is she, and I want to give thanks for everyone that's listening in this moment. Today we're going to connect to the alchemy of food and culture, deepening our roots with one another, self, and the world around us. As we connect to simple ways to interact with food, develop a new relationship with how and what we eat and where we get it from, what the sources are, we're also going to discover new ways to nourish ourselves today with the sweet potato. We're going to discuss the sweet potato, aka sometimes called the yam. There's a lot of confusion sometimes with that. And the reason I've selected this vegetable today is these root vegetables are very important, especially during these winter months, and why this is going to create a metaphorical parallel and a literal parallel to our root, our foundation, and what is so profound when we connect to that and really cultivate something with deep roots, with a lot more depth and longevity. So without further ado, I would like us just to bring ourselves to here in this moment and just to take a pause. And this is a great practice before you eat, before you're going to cook, before you're going to come together with family and friends, just to take a pause. So we're going to do that right now by listening to a song called King of Me, or it could be considered Queen. It's by Chris Berry. Did an interview with him not too long ago. And the reason I love this song is this is how I really believe that we should interact with food. Right now, there's so much available in food culture and herbology and nutrition, and it can sometimes be overwhelming and confusing. On top of that, we have gotten into a condition to follow food trends, which is very, very dangerous for many reasons, and I'll explain when we come back. But for right now, just connect to yourself. Think about you being in charge of you making critical, discerning choices on what you're going to put into your sacred temple. And think about maybe what you consume before you listen to this today, and see how you feel about it and why you made those choices. See what comes up. Once we finish with this song, we'll come right back and we'll dive a little bit deeper into this conversation.
When you're caught in the clutches of what you grab, you wield the knife, but yourself you stab. What you want takes your power away. Hunter then becomes the prey. Release now from my band, by the strength of my own hand. I am the king of me, yeah, my destiny. I'm the gatekeeper for my mind.
King of me.
about getting your mind free.
Like darling, we're still bound and drawn
to these falsities. I will not succumb.
Like darkness, we're still bound and drawn.
I sing back these clouds of illusion.
Diamonds come,
yeah.
Sing up, up, up. Diamonds come,
united
as one. Up from the shadows we come,
breaking the bonds of illusion, yeah.
By the Lord in heaven we are all one.
I hear new songs come,
new sovereignty.
I rule my destiny. I love that line. So my hope with these segments is one, to inspire you to consider eating healthy and making baby steps there. And then also to inspire you to listen to your own temple, to listen to what you need. Being that I'm broadcasting and my home currently is in California, is a very interesting food culture here because there's a lot of superfoods culture here. There's many different eating practices here, so it's very common if you're having people come to your home, you'll ask them what they do or don't eat. Not as typical in many other places on this planet, which is, I chuckle because it's very amusing. I recently learned to make a quiche without cheese because I was going someplace I thought maybe there would be non-cheese eaters. So it's fun because you get a chance to explore and do different things that you may not normally do in the kitchen or that you do all the time. Now, what's really, I feel, potentially dangerous, and this is the reason why, is that as a food trend appears, if you go back in your mind's eye and think about some of the food trends, like a non-fat food trend. And at that time, yeah, it was kind of fun. I remember eating some product. It was kind of fun because you thought, oh, but you were conditioned to think you didn't need fat at that time. And instead, you were eating fake food that was made into something else, you know. So these trends come around, and people start getting hyper-creative with packaged food because they want to make money. And we have it still going on right now. We have packaged superfoods and a lot of different packaged foods, bars, all these different things, because people want to provide people with an alternative snack that's quick and easy, when what's really quick and easy is just a piece of fruit or a stalk of celery or a stalk of kale. There are many different ways. So, and there's no packaging, low waste, all those fun things. So the reason I wanted you to think back to what you ate today and how you felt about it, and then also to think about, are you eating on trend? Do you find yourself eating things because it's out there in the world around us? All of a sudden, a lot of people may be eating kale and didn't know what it was before, other than being maybe a nice thing on a buffet. Are you finding yourself eating things that you don't like? These are really important things to pay attention to. Like, you might be really excited there was a food trend to eat more kale because you now learn that you love kale and it really agrees with you. However, you might be eating kale because you think it's good for you, but you don't like the way it tastes. You know, recently I had a client come to me and she said she drank a tea that she didn't like for, I don't know, 6 months or a year. And that's a sign, you know, when your kids don't want to eat something, when you have an aversion to something, that's their signal that it's not going to harmonize with you. So think about that, and it's really, really important to take some time to really understand what it means when you don't like something, why you have an aversion, and to check in and listen. And I can just share from my own experience that I'm pretty much right on. When I'm craving a food, that's what I need. When I don't want something, I didn't need that. When I stayed away from certain foods, I was actually having a would have potentially had a deep allergic reaction to them. This is how animals go through the forest and know what they can eat and what they can't eat, because they listen to themselves. They don't listen to pop media ads. So just a simple practice in this next moment, whatever it pops according to you, think about what you're going to eat, think about what sounds good to you, and try, if you happen to go for something processed in your mind's eye or fast food, try to say, okay, well, I want that, but what would be a more healthy alternative? And see what your mind's eye comes up with. And move through it slowly. You don't have to alter the way you eat drastically. Do it gradually and see what happens. You know, after the new year, I noticed a lot of people in the market, they're filling their baskets with all this stuff because you can see they're trying to switch how they normally eat. However, it's not completely integrated into their lifestyle yet. So take baby steps. Just start by looking at what you eat, what you crave, what do you do when you're wanting to like kind of be naughty, and what kind of foods do you go for. And then if you're way off, meaning you eat a lot of processed food, eat out a lot of fast food, think about, wow, could I maybe learn to start cooking? What could I substitute for this fast food? Is there something healthier? How could I cut down on the packaged food that I buy and start embracing fruits and vegetables in a different way that I didn't imagine? So that's just a simple practice for you to think about. And while you do that, what we're going to do right now is we're going to shine a light on two authors. We're going to talk a little bit about the sweet potato. And I just want to take a moment just to shed a little bit of wisdom. And the first off is from Healing with Whole Foods. This is by Paul Pitchford. This is a great book. I have two editions of it, and he's on his third edition, and I provided the link below. He'll talk about in here and how this book is structured. There's eating regimes, there's ways where you can have certain diets, where you need cleanses. If you're having certain conditions, you can try certain foods. And again, I want to caution that just because you read something in a book, and he's done a great job and obviously committed because he keeps doing additional editions to his book, is that you need to tune in. For example, for myself, when I'm having a reaction to a food because of how my liver works, I can't eat most things that's suggested for the liver because my liver can't process them the same way someone else. So that's where you want to listen. And unless you've had a bunch of tests done, you may not know that. So, but you want to listen like, wow, I just keep trying to eat this, but it's not working. It's not making me feel better. And that's how you test it out. So you can use the philosophy, just like a baby. When a baby's starting to eat whole foods, we ease them into the foods to see if there's a reaction, to see if it's agreeable with their intestines, with their stools, all these different things, and then add another one once we know. Because that way, if there's a reaction, you know what to remove. Otherwise, you have to just wipe the slate clean again and start the process again. So we can do the same thing when we're altering our diet, especially if we're interested in trying to use natural ways to improve our health. So we will just share a little excerpt from here. Sweet potatoes and yams are cooling thermal nature, sweet flavors. They strengthen the spleen, pancreas, promotes qi energy, increases quantity of milk in lactating women, removes toxins from the body, builds the yin fluid capabilities of the kidneys, which in turn benefits dry, inflamed conditions in the body. Is also used to treat thinness and diarrhea. Sweet potato is very rich in A and is therefore useful for night blindness. Adding spirulina and, in extreme cases, organic animal liver to sweet potato soup makes an especially effective night blindness formula. And another great thing that he put in here, if a child swallows a metal object, such as a coin, feeding them plenty of sweet potatoes will stick to the object and allow it to come out easier in their feces. So that's a great tip. I swallowed a penny as a kid, and they gave me a lot of white bread. I would have preferred the sweet potatoes. And then there is a caution here. Eating too much sweet potatoes will cause the indigestion, abdominal swelling, and red flesh varieties of sweet potato, quote, yams, are exceptionally sweet and can cause weakness in overeating. So a great tip, because again, sometimes we get so excited that we think, oh, I'm going to eat a lot of goji berries. Again, superfood. We don't need to overindulge in something because we think it's good for us. Less is more. So think about that when you're with your diet. And if you think about mixing it up a little, this other book I want to shine a light on, and we'll probably talk about in other segments, it's a great book. I just got it, actually. It's called Vegetable Literacy, and it's by Deborah Madison. It's just a beautifully done book, just visually, and how she's combined the garden, the medicinal properties or the nutritional properties, and then recipes. So this book and her page, The Sweet Potatoes, on 385 through 387, and then there's a series of recipes there. What's fun is that she talks about the different qualities of dry, flesh sweet potatoes and moist, sweet potatoes, which most people are used to, and that, you know, they're a great source of so many things that can benefit you and are a great snack. And I know my kids love them. Most kids do. And they're an excellent source, as mentioned, A, C, magnesium, calcium, potassium, iron, vitamin B6, and fiber. So what a great way to enrich your daily diet naturally with minerals. And then if you're a gardener and want to grow these in your soil, you have the opportunity to have some really rich, mineral-rich soil. You can eat the skins and get even more nutrients that way. Very thin skin, so you can cook with it if you're making sweet potato fries or just baking it and you want to eat the skin. You can do it that way. There's lots of fun options here. Soups, pies, roasted. And one thing I thought was really interesting that I was reading here, or maybe it was in the other book, is that the sweet potato raw, it needs to be cooked to remove one of the toxins in it. And sometimes this is true. So we do have these raw food movements, and some people, I don't know, they might do like a shaved sweet potato. I haven't come across that in a recipe. But just to really make sure you do your homework, if you commit to an eating lifestyle, really understand what you're getting into, listen to your body, and do the research to make sure you're not causing harm to yourself. I'll just share some of her pairings, companions in here. This is how she shares this book. She'll go through the history, the varieties, kitchen wisdom, using the whole plant, which she has some great information about the plant of the sweet potato and the leaves you can use in salads. And that's true with a lot of things. You can use the whole plant. And then good companions to highlight on the sweet potato: butter, coconut butter, sesame oil, roasted peanut oil, ginger, cardamom, chili, coconut milk, cilantro, coriander, allspice, cinnamon, sesame seed, lime, oranges, tangerines, brown sugar, maple syrup, molasses, bourbon, smoked salt, white miso, rosemary, and thyme. So those are some great options for you if you just want to cook them, keep them simple. The other thing that you might really enjoy about this cookbook is she provides a lot of great resources in the back to get flowers, different specialty items, so that you can make sure they're nice and safe, organic, especially with flowers if you want to cook some breads and want to make sure that they're made with non-GMO seeds. So from there, I would love for you, if you're inspired, check out this book. Check out Paul's book, Vegetable Literacy. Great wealth of information, fun to have in the kitchen. And I just got this one, but I'm not disappointed. I've read through it, and can't wait to test out some of her recipes. And then Paul Pitchford, I have two in my kitchen. You will not be disappointed. I actually reference back and forth between the two because I started taking notes in one, and it's fun to see the evolution. So why don't we just take a pause here real quick? We're going to listen to a little Carlos Nakai, Dream Catcher, as we lead into the roots, why I picked this root vegetable, and why our roots are so important. as you connect, think about where you feel like you have really strong roots, where you feel really firm in who you are, and it just feels like something that's, again, not a trend, moving away from trend-based living and really deepening where are you, who are you, what do you want to express, and what do you feel is just there that's not going to go away. Imagine yourself as a 1,000-year-old tree, and you're just not going to give up being a giant sequoia to be a coral tree, even though that might sound fun. You're not going to give it up next week or the week after. You're going to wait till you're done with your 1,000 years or more of living. So as you contemplate that, think about what your roots are. Just allow the beautiful sounds of this dream catcher and see what dreams you catch from the roots of your tree, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. Carlos Nakai and Dreamcatcher. So hopefully in that segment you were able to connect a little bit to your roots and what you're really committed to within self and within your eating potentially or whatever came up, but to think about moving beyond trends and being part of the trends. What this does is this allows self to really tune in to what works for one or another. Now, being that in many cultures, like for myself, I'm ethnically, and as a someone I know, we'll say flavors, from basically a European ethnic background, and so my biology is actually connected to that, those land masses, and those foods actually do feed my being, my physical being. If I really look and look at the cultures that I'm from, those foods will actually nourish me, even though I was born in the middle of the Pacific on an island. And the same, the earth fed me there, and I have definitely island girl tendencies. And then there's a third factor to me that's an indigenous being from different regions. So my soul being remembers and loves aspects of different foods. Now for some people, they might have just kept reincarnating into one specific culture, very deep rooted, let's say into East Indian, and that food is what sounds good and nothing else does. So to really listen, one, to yourself, you know, on a spiritual or soul level, but then also, what is your biology made of? Where did you land, and what is your ethnic roots, and what does that biology typically need? The beautiful thing about how we were created is that in each region around the world, there were foods that grew right there for the people that lived there. Now that we are a world culture, this is all shifting, but people are wanting to take stuff from the Andean culture, but they're not necessarily from there. It may agree with them, it may not. And remember that those foods were grown in that ecosystem for a reason, to help people sustain in that region. So think about it a little bit and play around with it. And if you can bring the practice from the beginning, of one, just being aware of what you're eating, where it's coming from, bringing that presence in, and see if you can make some simple modifications in your lifestyle, in food culture, but then also to deepen those roots. And why that's so important is if you got the clue, say you're East Indian, but you're living in Manhattan and you're not eating your indigenous food on a regular basis, your body might not agree with the foods that you're putting in. You might like the flavors, but it may not be good long term. So you have to think about that. And as we bring our planet back into another evolution of itself, it'll be interesting to see what happens and how our relationship will change. And when we start to realize that maybe, for instance, we're not supposed to eat strawberries year-round, and to really think about it. So this time of year, when we're in winter in the northern hemisphere and summer in the southern hemisphere, but if whenever you're listening to this and you think about root vegetables, is that those are that grounding agent. They're full of minerals. They're full of nutrients and a really great thing to eat, especially when there are less food choices available. Typically, this happens in the winter, eating less heartier, what's perceived heartier, but substantial because it has a lot of content in a small meal, and then there's a lot of green leafies. So as we continue through the rest of our winter cycle and then go into spring, it'll be very beautiful to see what you start to recognize with yourself if you're inspired to kind of move through it. And for those that are in the southern hemisphere who are listening right now, maybe resist from eating French fries in the summer and think about, or a lighter potato that can be grown in the summer, and then think about what you might be looking forward to as you go into the winter months. So I think we're just going to let it rest there. I would like to once again shout out to Chris Berry, King of Me, be the king of you or queen of you, and also Carlos Nakai, Dream Catcher. Feel those roots, dive in, and remember the roots, remember where you came from and what you would like to carry forward to keep yourself in harmony from a physical level, a mental level, a spiritual level. And I would also like to call out to Deborah Madison, Vegetable Literacy, link is below, and Healing with Whole Foods by Paul Pitchford. If you have any additional questions or would like to explore food alchemy with Shi, please send me an email at suzannetoro@gmail.com, or you can connect to my website linked below to explore and see what might entice you to read up on, listen to, or explore. Until next time, this is Shi signing out with a deep bow, a full heart, and a lot of laughter.